welcome to W Rated, the show where we willingly watch the world's worst rated movies. Today, you've joined us on this year's Road to Razzies, our annual season of episodes looking at the nominations for the controversial Golden Raspberry Awards 2024. For new listeners, I'm Daisy, and as always, I'm joined by podcast co-creator, host and editor Claire. Claire, would you like to tell us which film we're talking about this episode?
We are discussing The Pope's Exorcist, which is nominated for two awards in this year's Razzies. We've got Worst Actor, Russell Crowe, as Father Gabriel Amorth, and Worst Supporting Actor, as Franco Nero, the Pope, the titular Pope, who I just said to you, I actually don't even remember being in the film. And I only watched this like 2 days ago. So I'm like, who's this man? I'm Catholic, and I didn't even pay attention to the Pope. Terrible. What did you think of The Pope's Exorcist? I'm Googling the Pope now.
I feel like there needs to be a name change from The Pope's Exorcist, as she didn't remember who it was. She'd be like, who was that guy's exorcist? But I think that's not to jump too far in straight away with the noms, but I think that does go to show that this is a bit of a nothing nomination.
Oh my
but
God, they're reaching.
I have my theory
they
on that.
They are reaching.
They're reaching. I have my theory on that, which I'll go into. Overall, there was just glimmers of hope of it being something quite pulpy and campy and like something a bit different. And I did mention on our Exorcist Believer episode that I'd obviously watched that and The Exorcist, but I'd also been watching the Conjuring films as well. So I was having a big exorcism fortnight. And it all culminated in me having a dream that my house was haunted.
With pigeons.
Oh, yeah. That's the real thing. So I felt a bit torn until the end where it kind of lost me a little bit. I think that Russell Crowe was the best thing about this. Mm-hmm. And I've read a review and I have to agree that it feels pulled down and boxed in by the haunting of the family, the possession of the family. I feel like something called The Pope's Exorcist could have been something slightly different. I think, you know, it could have been something beyond just a standard.
Do you know, I think
there
when,
is a haunted fam possessed family that I'm gonna
when it was
exercise.
First announced, I think I thought they were saying the Pope was possessed. When they first announced the movie, they wouldn't have got away with
that. That could have been interesting. But just something that elevates it, because it's like, well, okay, so he's the Pope's exorcist. So he is like the guy.
The guy.
And he's gone to just do a standard thing. And I know they explain that in the film, that a lot of his work, he actually fixes not even through exorcism, and a lot of it is just through the power of suggestion, but then every now and then there is an exorcism, and it turns out he's kind of doing this off the book, and I'm like, but how can you be the exorcist of the Vatican and doing your job is off the book?
Because the Vatican has a lot of fucking shit going on hidden off the books. So the fact that they could have a little exorcist going around is the least shocking thing about the Vatican.
No, I like that. But why? But the thing is, they were saying it as if what he was doing was wrong. But that's his job title. So I think what they were trying to say
his job title, or was that what he was known as? So he's just a priest.
No, they said that's his job.
Oh, well, then I don't know then.
Oh. That's what I understood that scene to be about.
Oh, I felt like the Pope was like, love you, dude, you do you. Whereas all the middle managers were like, grrr, middle manager.
That would have made sense. But no, I'm pretty sure from that scene, what I took away from it was that was his role. So either go one way or the other. Do that thing where it's he's meant to be doing something else and he uses his power and expertise and stuff and kind of abuses it a little bit and whatever. And it's like kind of goes against the church's thing. That would have been interesting. That would have been a commentary on something, wouldn't it? or have him be that. This is like lesser than that idea, but and then they're like, which is what they were trying to get at, which is this is an outdated role. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't want to be known for this anymore. But the way they went around it, which it just didn't really make much sense for me. And it didn't give me, like, the inciting incident didn't feel like, oh, mm-hmm. This is an interesting, what, you know, like the strap line, like what's going to happen. Like, I was like, okay, like, so we're just going to go and do this, which is pretty much the same as every exorcism film. Mm-hmm. What they said that was different about him is potentially is that a lot of what he does, which I've just said, is not actually exorcisms. Some of them are. And I think the reason he went to this family is because the Pope told him it was really important.
Because it was in a religious building. It wasn't just that the kid was possessed. They were in a nunnery, I think, or similar.
Something like that. And it did turn out, spoilers, to be there was a lot underneath the surface of it. And it's like, okay, but does that really bring me anything different thematically or viscerally or visually than the other stuff? I mean, the end visually does kind of go for broke a little bit, but I was really so uninterested in that by that point.
The actual end, like the epilogue, where it sort of implied they were making like an Avengers exorcism thing. Yeah. It gave me like Nick Fury. Then we need to make a group.
I did like that. I liked it when it wasn't afraid to be funny and campy and a bit silly.
I loved the wording where it was like he went on and did loads of exorcisms and he wrote lots of books. They were good.
I thought it was funny. Yeah. I quite like those bits. If they'd have lent into that more and lent into, like, I don't know, him being just a bit like a bit rough around the edges and a bit like a bit of a renegade in the Vatican, but he's got the Pope on side. That would have been so, I think we needed to stay with him as a character way more. This haunt, the possession could have been a backdrop and it could have led to the same stuff, but I want to know more about him. And we did learn a little bit about why this vision of this woman was haunting him, because he claimed he was like, no, it's not a real possession, and she killed herself and stuff. There's essences of this stuff there, but it just didn't pack a punch.
Yeah, I can get that. I think I enjoyed it a lot more than you. I still only gave it 3 stars though. But I think my thing with it, my review is, I thought his accent was pretty decent, which I did. I
wasn't sure. I feel like I need to ask an Italian, not that any of them would have gone to have seen this, I'm sure.
It didn't offend me in the same way that the Ferrari accents offended me.
Right.
I was in Italy watching Ferrari and I was like, oh, these
Wait, is this the Michael Mann one or is this the one that we watched?
Michael Mann.
Oh, sorry. I thought this was the one from the Razzies last year.
Oh, no. Still the Michael Mann one. I watched it at Venice and I was like, wow, these are some bad accents.
Not House of Gucci level.
Same.
Really?
Adam Driver is doing the same bad Italian accent. He's doing the same bad Italian accent.
There going, oh, I believe him as an Italian man.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if that's legit.
But I think, like, of the Razzie norms this year, this is the one that I saw most people complaining about, because what did they want from this film? This Russell Crowe being a silly little man driving around on a Vespa.
On his Vespa.
Like, I had an all right time. I liked the accents. I liked the exorcism. Thought it was far more interesting than the Exorcist Believer anyway. And I thought, as a cheap, run-of-the-mill horror, I've seen far fucking worse. Would I recommend it to someone? No. But if someone told me they were watching it, I wouldn't be like, don't. Like, I'd just be like, it was all right. And I don't. Russell Crowe seems like an absolute arsehole, from what I know. I think he's a bit of a prick. I thought, if we're just looking at his acting, I thought this was all right. And I don't know who Franco Nero was, and I don't remember the Pope apart from the bit at the end where he was like, I'm setting up a team.
So Franco Nero is quite a famous actor from, I believe, the Spaghetti Western era. He was in the original Django. I think he plays the titular role. I might be wrong. I think he is a famous Italian actor. So yes, he is an Italian actor, director, actor, producer, and director. His breakthrough role was as the title character in spaghetti western film Django in 66, made him a pop culture icon and launched an international career that includes over 200 leading and supporting roles in a wide variety of film and television productions. So I do think, of a certain era, he is a very well-known guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Camelot. I'm just trying to see what ones that I recognise.
Oh, Die Hard 2. He's married to Vanessa Redgrave.
There you go. So, yeah. So I think what I was going to say, what I alluded to before, is that I had a theory. And I think my theory aligns with what I said about the nominations for the likes of Helen Mirren and Lucy Liu, and I think there was a few others that we discussed as well, is that I think they've seen someone of a certain stature in a film of lesser stature and gone, this is the worst thing in the world. They deserve to feel shame for this
How dare egregious aging actors choice get in their money. Career. Like, God forbid.
He was absolutely fine. He was barely in it. It was interesting to have like a younger Pope. It would have been good to have a bit more characterization. There was a bit in it when he has like a bit of a moment where he nearly dies. I think he might have a stroke or something. That was a little bit hokey.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah.
I mean, who cares? Yeah. It's because it's Franco Nero that people care. Yeah. That's what
that makes sense. But yeah, I don't think either of these noms are deserved. And I don't think it should be nominated for any other awards either. I thought it was just a fairly run-of-the-mill, kind of lower-budget horror that was quite entertaining while I watched it. And the minute it ended, I didn't really think anything else. So I was just like, that was a film that I watched.
I think I ended up disliking it a little bit more than you, purely because I saw things in it that I was like, oh, we could get something that's a little bit different here. And it kind of just didn't really stick the landing for me. So I was really, is this 2.5? Is it 3? I think I'm probably going to be kinder and go for 3 stars because I just really liked the characterization that Russell Crowe had. I liked the little interjections of humor. And I did like some of the ideas around that the Vatican had, or Catholicism had kept this a secret for years and whatever. I just would have loved to have seen more of that and seen stuff that's different. I thought some of the possession stuff was interesting. It ended up being more funny than scary, but there was a reaction out of me. So that's something. I think there was enough here for me to veer towards a positive rating. Yeah.
You've obviously, we spoke in the Exorcist episode as well, though you enjoy Exorcism films a lot more than I do and have just therefore seen more than me. So then I was just like, oh, this is all right. Whereas you've got a lot more to compare it to.
Yeah, but even then, I kind of feel quite similarly in talking about this as I did during our Meg 2 episode, which is it's just so run of the mill and down the middle. There's parts that are serviceable, but it doesn't reach the heights of it being a good film. I think naturally when we record these and watch these films, you know, they're deemed the worst. So we do expect the worst, and we know that there are worse out there. This is fine for what it is. It had a little bit of a personality, and it mainly came from Russell Crowe. So to nominate him is a bit like,
Yeah, I'm just going to say, I wonder if he's been nominated before. He probably has, I'd assume. Do you know what?
I feel like anyone with a career spanning more than 30, 40 years probably. Yeah.
It did make me really want to go back and rewatch Unhinged, which is where he plays the really angry driver man. I really enjoyed that film.
Oh, I've not watched that, but the trailer looked good.
I saw that at the cinema. It's like, again, it's real run-of-the-mill, quite low budge, but like just done. By the end, it's utterly ridiculous, but like I was scared of him.
But I like that about films sometimes.
I felt the tension. Miscellaneous awards. Oh, he's only had one other nom. He was nominated in 2017 for Worst Supporting Actor for The Mummy. And all I've heard about that film is it was terrible, so I don't know.
Oh, that one. I was like,
yeah, the Tom Cruise one.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
I feel like he's having fun here. And I feel like he should be, regardless of personality, because we're not having parasocial relationships with celebrities anymore. We're only talking about them in a professional capacity. I feel like he should be allowed to have more fun and give him a Vesper if he wants to in these films.
Yeah.
But equally, if he has done something bad, that I don't agree with it. Yes. But I'm sick of knowing, to be honest. And that is a privileged position, I know. I very much know.
Talking of it, my recommendation, rather than watching this film, would be to do a double bill of the Unhinged film and then Lizzie McGuire, because she also drives around Italy and stuff. And just, you know.
Yeah, there's been a lot of Italian films film set in Italy, and it was really weird. So I watched those and I went to Rome last year, but I'm pretty sure the year I went to Malta, there was multiple films set there too. I think it was Jurassic World or Dominion, and then another one.
Probably 355.
355. So there could be some bad films set in Hong Kong potentially next year. Maybe Toronto. We'll have to keep an eye out.
We will. I don't have anything else to say about The Pope's Exorcist. Just, you know, watch the trailer. You might like it.
If it's your bag. I feel like if you like this subgenre of horror, and you like things that kind of will make you laugh a little bit in horror, I think it's worth giving it a punt if you fancy it. I think that, I don't know how I felt about the VFX at the end. I feel like I used the term jump the shark too much, but I just feel like it felt a little bit unearned and it kind of lost me
a little
bit.
There was some bad fire from what I remember. There was some very like poorly done fire.
Just felt like it kind of didn't feel very ground. I don't know if that's it. It's just, I think by that point I was like, I wish this had been a slightly different film, exploring different things and doing something new. And it got to that, I was like, oh, this is kind of new, but I didn't care by that point. It kind of lost what was appealing to it at the beginning by that point. So I was like, oh, let's just get this done. I want this over with now.
Yeah, they're like, let's wrap it up. And then, soon we'll see the whole realm of Pope Exorcist.
I did like the end, though. I did like the end where they were like, there are 199 other sites just like this. So everyone's joking that there's going to be, like, Pope's Exorcist 139.
Love it. Will I be seated? No. But will I be okay for the people that are? Yeah.
That's it. We don't have to like every film. We can support films for people who like those films. I'd rather potentially have more of these, which might be slight misses, but they're doing something a little bit different and they're not spending it. I mean, I don't know the budget, but I can't imagine it was huge.
No.
Rather than gruel of IP consistently shoved down.
Okay, so the budget was 18 million. 1.8.
Still quite a lot, isn't it? Is that a lot?
No. Compared to a lot of the other films. So let's look up Exorcist Believer.
I can't visualise millions of dollars, that's why.
Exorcist
Believer. I think that's a mid-budget.
The budget of Exorcist Believer was 30 million, so nearly double. And I do not think you see double the...
No. This does feel more bargain bin.
It does. But it doesn't look bad. But that's okay.
No.
At the same time.
It's good for what the purpose it serves, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure how it would have looked in the cinema. I don't know if it would have...
I think all horror plays better in the cinema anyway, though, even if it doesn't look that good, because you just get the atmosphere of the dark.
That's true. That's very true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, well, best for everyone.
That's the answer. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and we hope you can join us for another mini episode as we tackle another Razzie-nominated film on our road to Razzies 2024.